Praise God. I want to welcome everybody tonight. It's a wonderful time. We celebrate Christmas. And even though I'm just like a candy cane, I'm not particularly a Christmas person. I'll be honest with you. The book of Colossians says to some people, some days are special. To other people, days are the same. For me, I'm a days of the same person. That's why I like that song that every day is when we serve God. Can you say amen? Some people are Sunday Christians, and some people need a little help with that. And the answer is we need a revelation. You need a revelation. The Bible says that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, and we need an enlightenment. Wherever you are in God, you're not as far as He wants you to be. And including myself, especially myself, wherever you are in God, there's more. And that more is a blessing. Hallelujah. That more, God is a giver. Thank God. I said, God is a giver. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And we want to remember that today, that is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Christmas, even though I'm not sure that anybody really knows the origin of Christmas. I guess some of us kind of know, and we don't want to talk about it, because it was a heathen festival. Hallelujah. I'm not going to talk about it. That's right. And I just want to encourage all of you to really press into what God has for you. I don't know who God is to you. It's probably the most misunderstood word of any word in the English language. It is so indescript. It is so weak. It's a weak little word. You see it on the side of trucks driving down the highway. You see people talking about God as if it's meant to mean something. But the whole essence of the word God is so meaningless. Now you've got your attention. Hallelujah. What does that word mean to you? I know there are people in this room. I know you well enough to know what your God is. I know many of you what your God is. Some of you, your God is your family. Some of you, your God is your children. I'd like to encourage you that if we are God's children, obviously our children cannot be our gods, otherwise that would make us God. Can anybody hear what I just said? Hallelujah. I'd like to also point out that some of you, your career is God. Your house is God. Some of you, I don't know what it is, your car. We're in New York, so it can't be a surfboard. Hallelujah. Although I know some people who it was. With me, a rugby ball was my God before I was born again. And it really was my God that I worshipped it, I adored it, I lived for it. In rugby, I lived and moved and had my being. Everything about my life revolved around that one thing. And I want to ask you, what does your life revolve around? Who is your God? What is your God? And we can say many things. Oh, I love God more than anything else. But as a pastor, and I've been in the ministry now for more than 30 years and pastor in this church for 11, that I realize that I know that people who say who their God is, that is not their God. Their God is their money. Their God is whatever lets them down and cheers them up when it comes and blesses them. You see, when you know God, then you have a consistent life. When you know God, you cannot be disappointed. Hallelujah. He cannot disappoint you. He cannot let you down. He cannot be good on a Sunday and then different on a Monday. He is a consistent God. He is omnipotent. He is almighty. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. There is no other God like Him. Yes, there are other gods. There are other kings. There are other lords. Otherwise, He wouldn't be the Lord of lords or the King of kings if there were no other lords to be Lord of or kings to be king for. But what I'm going to say to you is, who is your God? Here we are. We sung. I didn't know what scripture to start with until Brother Gary got up and rather eloquently read those beautiful verses. And I think we really should just look at that verse in John chapter 1 where he started. In the beginning, hallelujah. Somebody say in the beginning. How can anybody precede the beginning? I've been going to Planet Fitness recently, thank God, and the coach has laid out my exercise program and the weights. And at the last minute, after he wrote down 1 through 9, he put A, because he forgot that one. And I thank God there's no A in God. Hallelujah. He is the beginning. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He is the end. He is the author, and he is the finisher. And if anybody else is writing your script, then you do greatly err. I look around at some of you young men. I ask you the question, you young women, who are you looking for to be like as you grow older? What do you want to be like when you get to my age? I want to ask you people who are getting near to my age, have you reached what you thought you were going to do when you were their age? Have you achieved what you set out to achieve? Are you a success? Have you been able to say, my God is blessing me, that I have a life that is exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think? And if it isn't, then somewhere along the line, you started serving another God. Come on, folks, you need to help me tonight. We need to face these issues that are going on in our life. We just heard a story of a young man. He said 3 babies in 2 years. His eldest isn't 2 yet. Hallelujah. And the third one's coming in April. Now, to me, that's 2 years and 3 months. Hallelujah. That he's having his third baby. And in the midst of that, we had a recession in this country. But the recession didn't come to his house. The recession didn't come to his life. There wasn't something in his lips that said, we cannot afford a bigger family. We cannot afford more children. Because he found the God he serves, and in that God, he was exceedingly blessed. So I want to ask you that question. Are you better off than you were 5 years ago? 5 years from now, are you going to be better off than you are today? Because if you're not, then I want to say you have another God. When God called the children out of Israel, he said, I will bring you out of Israel unto myself. I'd like to remind you, God does not bring you into anything that he doesn't want for you. He brings you to himself. He said, I brought you out of Egypt on eagle's wings to bring you to myself. Hallelujah. And then he called a man up the mountain. And people saw as that man went up the mountain, and they didn't know who God is. To them, God was smoke. God was some kind of a voice. It was some kind of a cloud. It was even a threat. Said, if you come up here, you'll be shot through with an arrow. Hallelujah. But Moses went up there, and when Moses went up there, God began to speak to him. And the first thing he said to him in Exodus 20 and verse 3, you will have no other God before me. Hallelujah. And that reality is what I want to speak about, is do we have another God before him? I find it impossible to believe that there is a way to be greater blessed than the hand of the Lord to be upon you. I find it hard to believe that whoever our heroes may be, we watched the Giants this afternoon win a game, praise God. But is Eli Manning or his brother Peyton more successful than you and I that are following the living God? Is Bill Gates a greater success? Is Tom Hanks, who stands there with 2 idols in his hands, a bigger success than you or I? Not if he doesn't know God. Not if he spends eternity separated from the living God. And I want to just encourage you to think about the God you serve. I wrote down a few names here. For at the moment, we're celebrating, unto us a child is born. And yet we call that man Christ. We call him Rabboni. We call him Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Emmanuel, Redeemer, our Father or Abba. We call him our friend, the great I Am, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim, Wonderful Counselor. But there's one thing that I want to be able to call him tonight, and that is this. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Is your God the Mighty God? Or is he just God? How many of us use the expression OMG? The great Facebook abbreviation, OMG. OM who? OMG. Who is OMG? If you are serving a mighty God, then what is there he cannot do? Hallelujah. You have a sickness in your family. You're telling me my mighty God is not mighty enough for that sickness. You have a problem in your marriage. You're telling me my mighty God hasn't got enough power for the problem in your marriage, with your children, with your parents, that my mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who actually created the universe with his fingers. Hallelujah. How much work was that? Didn't need Charles Darwin, hallelujah, to give him a hand. Didn't need the Big Bang either. He did it with the work of his fingers. And that God is the God that I'm talking about. That is the God that we celebrate every Sunday. I was been driving the last couple of days because I didn't get born again until I was 29 years old. Then to me, Christmas only had one purpose, a big party. From soup to nuts. Party, party, party. That's all we ever did. And I realized that this world has to find an excuse to celebrate. They celebrate Christmas. They celebrate New Year's. They celebrate their birthday. They celebrate their anniversaries. They celebrate all these things. Yet I was talking to Pastor Chris and myself. I don't celebrate days because I have a God to celebrate with every day. Hallelujah. So that's why when we come into the house of God together, doesn't matter to us whether our team wins or loses. The most important thing is we have a mighty God that is on the throne, and that God cannot be dethroned. Or can he? Can he be dethroned? You see, there is a temple, and the Bible talks about that there is one who sits on that temple and exalts himself as God. And so I wonder, where is that temple now? My wife and I, we lived in Jerusalem for 3 years. So we talked a lot about the temple. We'd often go up on the Temple Mount, of course, where the Dome of the Rock is, or it's actually a little to the side of that. And we try and imagine, what did the temple look like? The temple, Jesus said, was so magnificent. He said, 46 years you've taken to build this. They said, look how beautiful it is. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, tear it down. Do you think I'm impressed with what man did, even though it took 10,000 men 46 years to build? There's never been a building in the history of man that has taken 10,000 laborers 46 years to build. There was the most beautiful building they say the world has ever seen. It was engraved in gold on the inside and the gold on the outside. There were shields in there this big, hundreds of them, solid gold. It was a spectacular thing. But the holy place and the holy of holies, and inside of there was the presence of God in an ark, gold on the outside, gold on the inside. It must have been the most spectacular thing to see, and Jesus was 100% unimpressed. Totally unimpressed. And so what he did, as Pastor Josh has already said, he said, it's better that I go away, that I send another comforter. And then what it says is that the comforter comes and lives and dwells and abides inside of us. The Bible in the book of Corinthians calls you the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means that you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, are more valuable than a building that took 10,000 men 46 years and all the gold that man could ever gather together. That's how important God sees his creation. You see, when God made heaven and earth, when God made heaven and earth, it didn't satisfy him, praise God. I don't know how much you've traveled, but you may know my wife and I have traveled a lot. I've had the privilege of traveling to now nearly 80 countries. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that we actually can see the attributes of an invisible God. We can see those attributes. Today, a girl in our church came in today, and the first time I saw her new baby. And when you see a new baby, surely you begin to see the attributes of an invisible God. You see a creator at work. Surely every morning when you wake up and you see again the sun beginning to rise, or every evening, doesn't matter whether it's short days or long days, the sun begins to set. And the beauty that God is able to paint every evening in the sky. He does that as if it's nothing to him. And yet we can see the attributes of an invisible God. Have you ever visited the Grand Canyon? I thank God I've been there 3 times, including once when it was in snow. Hallelujah. I thank God for being to Alaska and going to Yosemite, or where else have we been? Yellowstone National Park. My wife and I have been to 49 states, praise God, and I've seen the beauty. I've seen every single major river in the world. If you've heard of it, I've seen it, praise God, and sailed on most of them. Been down the Nile, spent a week in the Yangtze River in China, going through the three gorges that are about to disappear into one of the biggest dams in the world. Been on the river down in the Amazon. I've seen the Himalayas and the Rockies and the even the beautiful Catskills, hallelujah, right next to us. I've seen Mount Kilimanjaro in East Africa and Victoria Falls. And yet the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Think about what God has. I'm talking about a mighty God. Because when he made all that, it didn't satisfy him. Hallelujah. It was just the work of his fingers. And then he realized that it wasn't enough. He said, let us make man in our image. And so he made man in the image and likeness of God. And he called that man Adam, his first son. If you follow the genealogy of Jesus, you'll see that Adam was called the son of God. And when he saw man, he saw that it was pleasing to him. See, when he saw his creation, he was pleased. But when he saw man, he was very pleased. And he went a little further than that, praise God, because then it says that he blessed him. And the word blessed in Hebrew is barach. It means to bow the knee. You mean to tell me that God bound his knee to man? Are you mean to tell me that God thinks so much of man that he bent his knee? The mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth? And yet somehow we have a better plan. We have another plan. Young people, you're going to serve God when you've, you know, finished with your education and began to get everything. Or maybe your parents are telling you, well, you need something to fall back on. In case God fails, of course. The amount of times I've heard that to young people. Oh, make sure you get a good education just in case the creator of heaven and earth lets you down. Just in case he who set the stars in the heavens can't quite handle your life and your problems. Have you ever thought about this mighty God that we worship or do not worship? Because if we are not worshiping him, trust me, it is in the heart of man to worship. You're worshiping something else if you're not worshiping the mighty God. I don't know what you're worshiping. His name shall be called Emmanuel. He's a mighty God. There was that old song we used to sing in Pentecost. It's amazing what we could get out of the Pentecostal two-step. Hallelujah. I still love the days of a Pentecost and charismatic movement when nobody could sing, play a guitar, couldn't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow. Hallelujah. It was tremendous. What a mighty God we serve. Anybody remember that? What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. That was all it was. And then went, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. But he was a mighty God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you a story. I just feel a nudge of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you a story about Miriam. Miriam was a friend of ours in Jerusalem. She was crazy. She even made me look sane. Hallelujah. We love Miriam. She was a Jewish believer. I forget where from. Maryland, I think, originally. And some of you have heard the story, but I just want to tell it again. So we had solar power in Jerusalem, and you may not know that the winters in Jerusalem are brutal. Hallelujah. We had snow there once, and it can get real cold in the winter. And Miriam was sick to death of cold water and cold showers, and one day, I don't know why she talked like that, but she did. So one day she said, I'm fed up with this weather. I'm going to go and take a hot shower. So Miriam grabs her towel and her dressing gown and goes into the bathroom. And I don't know if you guys know what speaking in tongues is, but we do. And Miriam did. Because there's sometimes you got to speak to a mighty God and you don't know how to talk to him. Hallelujah. And God has to give you an unknown language and a way that you can talk in God. The Bible says that he who speaks in tongues does not speak to man, but speak to God. Hallelujah. Thank God I can talk to God. Miriam went in the bathroom and All we could hear outside was, she's praying in tongues. We're all laughing, hallelujah. But 20 minutes later, when she opened that bathroom door and the steam came out in the hall and she had a turban round her head, she was serving a mighty God, hallelujah. She wasn't serving a tradition. She wasn't serving a religion. She was serving a mighty God. Do you know this mighty God? See, some of you were raised in church, but you were never introduced to a mighty God. You were introduced to Sunday school, to stories. I remember I played rugby in South Africa. My friend, Clive Faulkner. His brother, Charlie, played for the British Lions. You don't know what that is, but that's something. Hallelujah. Played for the Pontypool front row. And I remember when Clive, he was a believer, and when he told me he actually believed in the flood of Noah, I thought the guy was crazy. I looked at him and said, you actually believe that? See, because I was never raised in church. So it was real easy for me not to believe. It was really easy for me to think, well, whatever. It makes no sense. And I'm asking you, were you raised in church? Were you introduced to a mighty God? Or were you introduced step by step to some information about a mighty God? And were you introduced step by step, little knowledge here, a little, there a little, and not really been able to understand that this God that everyone was talking about was all omnipotent, all present, and all in favor of you? Or maybe you were introduced that he was a God that was going to smack you up the back of the head every time he did something wrong. No, I want to say something. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn never to flood the earth again, so I have sworn never to be angry with you. Yes, he's a mighty God. He's a righteous God. People say, well, is he a God of love? Of course he is love. But he has attributes. And one of his attributes is righteousness. And he will not let anybody who is not holy, not righteous, or not perfect into a holy, righteous, perfect heaven. Last week, young Joe Colucci, a friend of ours who's on his way down to Florida for Overland Mission's annual conference and before he goes back to Africa, on his way down, he was taking a slow drive down the I-95, visiting friends on the way down. He got the news that a young girl that was with them in Africa, 20 years old, was killed in a car crash. 20 years old. Gone. So you young people that are sitting there around that age, I don't know if you think you're invincible, because I know I was invincible at that age. I was invincible up till I was about 30 or 40 years old. And then one day, one begins to realize that you are not immortal. But there is a king who is immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And the Bible says that no man has seen this invisible God. But Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you the question tonight. Have you seen the invisible God? Have you met the invisible God? Have you seen Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith? Or are you just following a philosophical approach to the Bible that just kind of keeps you in a place of some lucid sort of a state of, no, I think I'll be okay. Now, one thing I thank God for is if I drop dead now, I am going to heaven. Hallelujah. If I drop dead now, I know I will see my Savior, praise God. And there's no doubt, in fact, I've got more belief that I will see God than you lot are sitting there. That's how sure I am. That's how sure I am. Because I met a mighty God, hallelujah. I met a mighty God. Have you met this God? This is the question. And so with this mighty God who created heaven and earth, who created man, who blessed man, gave man certain conditions. Said, whatever you do, there's only one thing I don't want you to do. It doesn't matter how many laws there are in your life. Man's going to break it. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many there are. Well, I really, please, I beseech you by the mercies of God, don't make any New Year's resolutions. You will break it before February. Please don't even pray about it. Just don't do it. You'll put yourself under condemnation. How many people are planning to lose weight in the new year? Don't raise your hands. I saw your hand, Kelly. Shouldn't have done that. Man disobeyed. There's not one person in this room that is completely obedient to God. Not one person. Your obedience and your faithfulness is not enough. There has got to be something more than what you can do. There has not only to be something, there has to be someone that is more capable than everything you've ever tried. And that someone, of course, is Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus was born, we say unto us a child was born. And we see that. Anybody see on Facebook that beautiful crib with the straw in it and said king size bed? Did anybody see that on Facebook? Wasn't that cool? But the point is, there's much more than a child has been given us. Much more than a child. A mighty God came in the flesh and dwelt among us. And he walked around among every single one of us. And this is the mighty God that was crucified, died, was buried, went to hell. Come on, folks. I thank God Jesus went to hell. Because he went there so I don't have to. Hallelujah. He went there, and thank God, I don't know why it took 3 days, because he said it would. That's good enough for me. And on the third day, the devil figured out he had an innocent man in hell. Hallelujah. And death couldn't hold him. So therefore, death had to let go of that innocent man, Jesus. And therefore, all of creation now is loosed from the power of death and the power of sin by Jesus Christ, who paid for every single need in my life, bar none. What is there in your life that you are not letting mighty God sort out? Come on. Now is the time to think about it. What is it? What is it? I tell you what number one is your future. Is your future. How many of you young people or old people are 100? How many of you are concerned about the, Social Security running out of money before you get old enough to retire? I'm all right. I'm already old enough. I can claim it now. Hallelujah. How many of you are concerned about your 401ks? How many of you are concerned how you got enough savings to retire? Where are you? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you confident that your future is in the hands of a mighty God? Or are you trying to figure it out yourself? Are you concerned that whatever you're losing now, maybe you're in a recession, maybe you're in business, maybe your business is losing money, maybe you've been going down, down, down during the recession. Does this mean to say you're trying to tell me that my mighty God can't help you? Is that what you're telling me? All I know is this, is the first commandment of promise is, love your mother and father, for this is, and you will live long on the earth. This is the first commandment of promise. But I want to tell you something. There are no promises until the first commandment is understood. You shall have no other gods before me. So I'm asking you tonight, what is your God? And do you want to leave your God here tonight and walk out there with one God? The mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And it's something that you're going to have to make a decision about, praise God. Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be ill. I know what it's like to be diagnosed with something incurable. I know what it's like when I was in my, I bought my first house when I was, 47 years old. I had nothing. Nothing. But I paid for it by the time I was 55, hallelujah. I want to encourage you folks, when you commit your paths and your ways to God, He will do all things for you. Can you say amen? You heard Brother Don's confession and his testimony of how he got delivered out of a life of crime and drugs. Don't know what it is. We can just get delivered out of a life of selfishness, a life of being mean, a life of being cheap, a life of being just miserable and have no good relationships. But whatever it is, it's because you have another God. And so I want to leave you with this thought. The most common God in the temple of God is self. Is self. In the last days, perilous times will come. People will be lovers of self. Are you sitting on the throne of God, or is God sitting on the throne of God? You see, until you make Him your King, your Lord, and understand He's a mighty God, you're always going to struggle. You're always going to struggle. You're going to struggle with your life, your marriage, your ministry, your money, whatever it is. And tonight, we're going to, as a token that Jesus came into the world and His life was the light of men. So that's why tonight we're going to light these candles as an indication that He is the light of men. Get those lights. But we want to make sure, all of our visitors here, that you get an opportunity to pray with us and come see us if you have not received the mighty God as your Lord and Savior. I'm also speaking to young people who are raised in church and some older people that have been disappointed with what you may have thought that God failed. But I want to encourage you, folks, God cannot fail, only man can.